authority. And that resulted in my learning some things. And then when I went to China, I found out that I was a whole lot different than some other people. And I was very much in the minority there. I'm not suggesting that there aren't different cultures and that we shouldn't have a respect for other people. And there are some differences that we can tolerate because they really don't make a difference. But when it comes to our morality, I am suggesting, as I think our own Savior does, that the only way by which we can approach God is through Jesus, His Son. Jesus says in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now someone says, well, that's not inclusive, that's exclusive. That's exactly right. The only basis upon which we can be pleasing to God is not seeking our own path and direction to God, but by coming to God through Jesus Christ, through the teaching He has given, by being a disciple of His, by doing what He commands. And there's no other way. And that may mean that a lot of people out there are not really fitting into that pattern, but that really doesn't change what Jesus teaches. His way has always been the way that perhaps the few seek, the way that is narrow as opposed to the wide way. But if He is the one we're going to follow, we have to accept that that is the way that it is. Well, what about this idea of tolerance? Again, I would simply suggest, yes, we have to get along with people. I don't believe that because we are different, because we have different values than others, that gives us a right to wield some sort of a sword against others, and we can tear into them any way that we want to. But let me suggest this. What some mean by tolerance is a sort of a value or moral neutrality. You don't make any judgment about anyone or anything. If you don't like someone's lifestyle, you don't say anything about it. Now, that may not be what you choose, but don't you say anything to them. Paul says over in Ephesians 5 and verse 11 that we're to reprove the works of darkness. We may find ourselves sometimes in an uncomfortable position where our viewpoint is in the minority, but if it's a matter of right and wrong, we might need to express what our viewpoint is. And by tolerance, if we mean simply getting along with others despite disagreements, I think the Bible teaches that. But it also teaches that we have to stand up for those principles in which we believe. Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 15 that we are to speak the truth in love. And there is a loving way to go about it, but nevertheless, we must maintain and stand for the truth. Well, what about this idea of freedom? Again, I think that has been so blown out of proportion. By freedom, people think of just unharness doing whatever it is they want to do. And the moment you say, well, you can't do this or you can't do that, they cry censorship. Why, you're limiting what I as an individual have a right to do. Jesus said this in John 8, verse 32. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The very fact that God has given us boundaries within which to live our lives is not restriction. It involves restriction, but it is a freedom to enjoy and enable us to become what He wants us to be. Parents, if you have a young child and you have a front yard that fronts a street, as most of us do, and you tell that child you've got to play within that yard, don't go out into the street, have you restricted the child? Why, yes. Does that mean that you have taken from them any hope of happiness or pleasure? Not at all. You simply set the boundaries in which they are to operate, and they can enjoy themselves within those boundaries. That's exactly what God has done for us in His Word. And the freedom that people talk about today has bred this idea that we should have no restraints whatsoever, that the sky is the limit. And what has happened in our society is, with the lack of those inner constraints, isn't it ironic that we have had to erect more and more external restraints so that we can protect ourselves from one another? Doesn't that say something about that idea of freedom being just this unbounded ability to do anything that we want to do? And then what about the matter of rights? Well, I would suggest to you that our rights really are inherent in terms of what it is that we are as individuals. We are beings who are made in the image of an everlasting and infinite God. That's really where our worth and value comes from. And I think that needs to be said in a day and time when questions such as life and death come into play, whether it be abortion, whether it be euthanasia. The question is, what value really is that life? And many take a pragmatic approach, utilitarian approach. Well, whatever is useful is what works. And that's sort of this idea that there's no right and wrong. Value in terms of human life, dignity in terms of human life, our founding fathers had it right, is inherent in the fact that we have been created. The Creator has endowed us with certain things. And once you take that away, you've got no rights. A couple of other quotations which are rather interesting. Robert Jarvik, a scientist and inventor of the artificial human heart, says this about rights. He says, in reality, there are no basic human rights. Mankind created them. They are conventions we agree to abide by for our mutual protection under the law. Are there basic animal rights, basic planet rights, basic rights of any kind to protect things on our planet when the sun eventually burns out or when we block it out with radioactive clouds? Someday, humans will realize that we are part of nature and not separate from it. We have no more basic rights than viruses, other than those that we create for ourselves through our intellect and our compassion. Now, I will say this for the man. He is consistent with his thinking. And he is suggesting that really, there is no such thing as a right that we possess or have. That ultimately, without God, there is no such a thing as human rights. And then in reference to choice, God has granted us the opportunity to make choices in our lives. But the Bible is very plain in telling us that we are responsible for the choices that we make, that God will one day hold us accountable, that there is right and wrong, and that we are to choose accordingly. As you look through the Bible, what time is there when God did not appeal to his people on the basis of giving them a free moral will, but then saying, all right, you choose what is good. You choose the right thing. If you do so, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be punished. And that's exactly the way that it is today. And then finally, in terms of equality, as I said, I think perhaps more than any other at this point in time, that is the buzzword. Equality in everything that we do. Well, am I suggesting that there shouldn't be equality, that there should be inequality? Not at all. There's a realm in terms of economics and things such as this where we can explore what it is that we should do and how we should treat one another. But in terms of the gospel, let me suggest